Father, we worship you and praise you. Jesus, we see you standing in our midst, and we thank you for that. We're begging you. Some don't understand that because we're not approaching you as a pauper and saying we beg you, but this is a plea of our heart. Please come, Master. Stir us in these days and these days to come like we've never been stirred. Turn our world and our services upside down. Jesus, we court you. We woo you. We don't know how to get there. We've never seen this. Our children have never seen this. Our children have not grown up. Children have not grown up under that kind of presence. They've not known revival fires. We've done the best that we know how to do to this point, but you have to take us beyond ourselves. We can't die of ourselves, but Lord, it's through you we're asking for grace. Turn our services upside down. Jesus, come. Come like you've never come in the days ahead. Come with visions and dreams and visitations by angels. Presence that we never even knew was possible. Things that we never knew could exist in the spirit realm. Presence, visitations by God that sets the church on fire and changes mediocre Christians into passionate prayer warriors and intercessors, and causes those who are already lit that their candle will burn brighter and brighter and brighter into a more perfect day. That none fall under the claws or the climate of condemnation and fear and trepidation by the enemy that would separate and to divide, but all that would, that they would come in. Jesus, unite us as one. Let our hearts melt with compassion, but more than anything, with the passion of God, which is the heartbeat of souls. The closer you get to me, says the Spirit of grace, you'll hear my heart. That all these things that I have been fashioning with you, fashioning to you and in you concerning intimacy, is to bring you into a place where that you catch my heart. Few generations have had my heart, which is souls. Oh, that I would open your eyes and that you would see the world around you dying and going into judgment. And that you'd all the more go in to that effectual place of prayer that changes the atmosphere and changes the world around you. Think not in the traditional way of witnessing, evangelism. I'll bring forth the evangelism out of you that was portrayed in my son, but his place that fueled him was this place, and which I'm soliciting continually and have been, to know me in this place and to be filled with my passion for the lost, says the Spirit of grace. Imala elisitiete, Jesus. Am I to say these things? Show me, Lord. We worship you. Glorify you. The enemy of your soul, which first beginning is layers of the flesh, but then the one that fights to abate and hold those levels of the flesh up and keep you busy all the days of your life, is the arch enemy of revival, which is a spiritual darkness. Now, he doesn't mind, even if you've got a call, he does mind, but he won't fight you as hard. You can give $1 million, and that's wonderful. Or you can stand in a soup kitchen and ladle out soup on a holiday to the poor, and that's wonderful. Or you can take 2 missionary trips someplace every year, one to Africa and one to the Latin America or someplace, and give incredible testimonies of how God healed, and he will. And you risk your life, and that was wonderful. You can even evangelize. You can go down to the local park, and you might get 1 or 2 that get saved. But you can do something that the enemy doesn't like that. But he won't fight you on that. There won't be the war on even giving $1 million that there will be against you establishing a prayer life. I'm talking about something. Yes, sir. You just said something to me right then. Well, would you tell us? Yes, I will. He said, even when you begin this kind of talk, the enemy raises a standard of thought against the minds, that to trade off, to go into this means a trade off of their life in the sense of something unrealistic. You begin to talk about a prayer life, immediately they see 8 hours, they see 5 hours, they see 3 hours, they see something. I can't do that. I don't have the schedule for that. I'm too busy for that. So they shut down, and then everything else from that point on is very mediocre, in a disdaining way, but it's just, it evaporates its effectiveness because it doesn't have an appeal to them personally. But the enemy, he'll fight that place. You, as a man, as a woman, as a mother, as a father, as a called preacher, as a gospel entrepreneur, he'll fight you establishing. Let's just get it down. Let me use 30 minutes of consistent daily. Does your children know that mommy or daddy has a closet or a, and you don't have to abandon them. Do they know that just for 30 minutes, daddy's going to go in there and talk to Jesus, and Jesus is going to, you know, pastor, don't put, listen, we can't, you take us there, pastor. I can't take us. He wants me to tell you we all got to go there ourselves. Hallelujah. Well, I'm called to whatever. Whatever your call is, it's in here. It's in here. I appreciate you being here. I really do. I appreciate anybody that's give any money to this church. I appreciate your attendance. I salute you. It's wonderful. I don't know why you'd come hear me. I don't know if I'd come here myself. But this place here, you in there, Jesus? He's in there. That's where millions of dollars come out of here. Plans come out of here. Boldness come out of here. Families are saved out of here. Mommies and daddies walk out with a vestige of life that's full and glorious. And we think we're giving him something. The trade-off is beyond measure. The trade-off is beyond measure. At one time, I was like, when I came down here, I said, Lord, why did you do this? You cut me off. You wouldn't let me, you know, I couldn't contract anymore. I wanted to make $1 million by the time I was young. So he said, no, I want you to do this. And then I come down here and I said, well, I still got my contractor's license. I'll make $2,000 or $3,000 a week, maybe just doing side jobs. He said, no, I don't want you. You can't do that either. No side jobs. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to come over here every day, all day, and go in there. It wasn't there, it was here. And it wasn't long that I realized, I woke up one day and I said, oh my God, you loved me more than anybody else in the world. And I know he loves you just as much. But the greatest gift that a man can have, whether it's all day or an hour or 30 minutes, I realized, wait a minute. I'm not a millionaire. I got stuff that Elon can't even imagine. Could you talk to Elon? Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't sweat or anything. Because, you know, some people get a little rash when they get close to somebody that's prominent or a millionaire. Because they think, wait a minute, maybe they can do something for me. When you realize, when you realize you've got what they want. And if they're a Christian, then you've got it together. But people can feel when they know you don't want anything from them. There's nobody in this world that I need something from. I don't need nothing from anybody. And boy, does that make you independent. in a good way. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to meet so and so? If they want to meet me. Would you get scared if you met President Trump? Absolutely not. He's just a man that needs to be born again. Well, he is, Pastor. Well, not like we are. If he is, the fruit hasn't come out yet. But he will be. He will be. Hallelujah. He will be. This is fun. It's fun not knowing what you're doing. Hallelujah. Imagine the people coming in here or over there or wherever we're at and being saved by the thousands. Let me read this. This was a short prophecy that came last Sunday. I like it. It's short but powerful. The anointing breaks the yoke, says the Spirit of the Lord. You have not because you ask not. And you ask, but you ask amiss, desiring to consume my grace upon your own lust. But when you ask, do not waver as the sea tossed about. But believe that my grace is sufficient to change. Here's the thing. To change your desires into mine. And to transform even the very brain cells, the neurons. The lust of the flesh and the pride of the life is transformed by my Spirit. For those that will yield themselves to me will make transformation. They will make transformation, I like this, even without thought. That's something better, because you don't even determine. It's like, hey, I changed. I don't know how. I'll transform them and bring them higher and higher to places of my Spirit that transform their way of thinking, problem solving, and even their physical rest, says the Spirit of grace. Somebody sent me this, one of somebody that's got a real voice in my life. They reminded me of a portion of this, and then I looked it up, that came here out of this pulpit in 2021. It was March 21. It says, say to the people, says the Spirit of the Lord, revival is now. Do not claim it as in it's coming, but realize it and believe it and receive it. For the authority necessary to bring forth these things is among you, as my kingdom has always been among you. Stand fast in these days and see the hour and seize it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not look to the right or to the left. Do not be concerned about who's praying and who's not praying. That's none of your business, he said. What I have asked you to do is to stay in a straightforward fashion going forward. You alone are enough to cause revival. Just any one of us, just one of us. When you look to the right or to the left to try to figure out where someone else's spiritual status is, you bring your own spiritual status low. Stand in this place and look up unto me. See the parking lot full. See the house full. See the field full. I'm so tempted for us to just walk outside and stand there and just worship God. Prophesy to the pulpit or to the parking lot. Stand in this place. Look up. I do not just give you a vision to excite your senses. but rather, to believe that revival is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. That's why he's given it. Divorce yourself from the old and say goodbye to the old and kiss the new. Believe me, for Holy Ghost services like you've never had before. For only the leadership of the Spirit will win the lost and heal and bring forth miracles, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. See hundreds baptized in the baptismal tank in your parking lot week after week. And this elder said to me, send me the picture of your baptismal tank as soon as you get it. It's probably a big old horse, one of those big horse tanks, farmer's horse. God, I'm about to have a running fit. I'm fixing to make a hole back there beside you, Marty. Glory to God. See hundreds baptized in the baptismal tank in your parking lot week after week, dozens and dozens and dozens going under and coming up. See the salvation of the Lord among you now. Speak it among you now. Claim it now. Do not say, when revival gets here, speak and say these things. These things are well available to you now, says the Spirit of grace. And then as I move you, wherever you live, that's you out there, and those you come into contact with, as I move you by my leadership, move out and then speak to them and see if I will not solicit from them the response necessary. He's talking about the world, the loss, to confirm the moment and bring the wisdom of the hour. In other words, he'll be right there with you. And the anointing of my Spirit will be there. I have promised you this in my word, and I did not send you forth as orphans without my anointing. Too many have depended upon formulas. Depend upon my Spirit. Go as I say, go, do as I say, do. My anointing is upon you now. The hour is now, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. What we've got to have and what we all know, and I believe we agree on, there's no contention in this, is that it is out of that birthing place. And he's still asking us to birth this in the Spirit. But how many of you see the filled full? Can you see it? Can you reach out and see it? Hallelujah. See the parking lot full. Having a 30-minute service in here to go out there and the rec next and just keep baptizing them and baptizing them and baptizing them. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Do you need something? You're just worshiping God? Yeah. Come on in. He's coming. Okay. All right. He's coming. He's bringing him in. Hallelujah, Jesus. The world needs this. I am so thankful for my ecumenical friends. When you say ecumenical, I'm talking about the Good Baptist. You can get saved there every Sunday. And that's wonderful. That'll get you there. My Methodist friends that haven't gone over to, that have come out. And the very core of all of the Gospels and all the epistles is our redemption and our freedom by the new nature, even apart from the Holy Spirit, to walk free from sin. That's all the epistles. But the message, as we know, and we'll always, you've got to start always, and you've got to continually rehearse the foundation, which is salvation and freedom from sin. But us revivalists, we're not called to stay there. In other words, we're not called for us to come in and have another entry level, born again. We're to reach out in Holy Ghost. We've gotten past by His grace. Killer sins, deal breaker sins. This is where the maturing process is at. And thank God for any place that preaches the gospel. But that's not where He didn't call us to stay there. The gospel, the full gospel, is evangelism through power, through signs and wonders. Marty, play that first one. I heard this a couple of days ago. I said I got to remind us all. You'll remember this from the past. It's one of the blueprint prophecies. I think this one is Bring Me Gold. It's one of the longer ones. Mande que des la cruz. Yes, Jesus. Mohorese, yes, Lord. Becada soto. Worship your Father. Have I not asked you, being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth which I've laid my hand on you to bring forth, saith the Spirit of grace. I caution you again and encourage you again and solicit from you again as my dear children to bring me gold tried by fire, saith the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying of fire by testings and trials of which your faith will often be. But I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have not I cautioned you that I have not selected you above others as to that you would go in a way of pride or arrogance? But yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, saith the Spirit of grace, except through going into my word, into things of depth and promise. Mekarasoto. Mekarasolekeresetidiata. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, saith the Spirit of grace? And I've gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Go into me like you never have. Determine in this year to come that you'll make this a place of prayer inside of you like you've never known. Becarosoto. Mekarasoke. He said this. Many will grab you by the shoulder and by the arm and say, come do this with me. The natural tendency will be to show your love to them and to show your allegiance to me, saith the Lord, that you'd involve yourself in this and that and the other. But I say unto you as a church, and I say unto you as elders, and I say unto you believers, that what I've laid my hand on you for as kings and priests is to go into the prayer closet. Many will reason, and your natural mind will reason, and Satan will come and say, but I've called you to the streets, and I've called you to feed the poor, and I've called you to do all these things. And yes, in me, I will bring those things to pass. But it will not be through an operation of the flesh, like most of the church knows. But I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Yes, he fed the poor, and yes, he brought forth ministry everywhere he went. It was because he knew me in a private place. It was because he continued to purge himself continually and walk in a place of commitment to me, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to narrow your vision like never before. I'm asking you to zero in like never before. I'm calling you, saith the Spirit of grace, to become laser focused like never before. Busyness is not a sign. An over busyness is not a sign unto you or a confirmation to you that great works are being done. And yet there will be times where you will be very busy doing my work, saith the Lord. Listen and hearken. I have very few that are willing to do this. I have very few that are willing to hide themselves in the secret place and go into my word and go into my spirit and to deny their flesh. The flesh will give you many opportunities to minister in my name. And yet I'll work a work there as much as I can. But I have a very select few that will hide themselves and bring forth the anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival, saith the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm asking you, kings and priests, I'm asking you to come away with me to a place that I've solicited from you for many, many years. And I am pleased with you, saith the Spirit of grace. I am not disheartened with you this morning, but I am pleased with your efforts so far. But I'm asking you not to quench the Spirit. For in not listening to these very words and reasoning them out in your own mind and saying that is a man speaking. That's a man speaking. But I hear from God. Listen to these things. Judge these things, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Judge them by the word. Understand this, that I've called you aside. I've called you to be a peculiar people unto me, saith the Lord. I've called you to walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. And yet, when you pray, you'll move mountains, saith the Lord. The earth has not seen people like you in many generations. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. Know me in intimacy and know me in my word like you've never known before. Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quietness. I promise you by my word and by my spirit that none of you, including the one speaking now, have come into the place of peace and quiet like I have for you. There is a stillness that will direct your day. There is a stillness that will direct your life. There is a stillness that cannot hear the offense. Deafened ears cannot hear. And yet you will move out of a place of authority in my spirit continually, moving mountains and moving things in your life. And yet ears are still dull of hearing for many of you presently, and many of that will hear, will think of other things and only hear this partially. But when you come to another place, you can hear it in more depth. And more depth will bring you to a greater depth, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me, saith the Lord. Give unto me what brass and what silver cannot. I desire the fruit of the earth. I desire a great harvest, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I desire that all of you walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last day, would flow together. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I've chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me.
If there's anything that I could, and I'm not teaching people that are adverse to the aspects of revival and giving themselves over. You're obviously here this morning and to be praised for that, really to be, and God's affirmation is on you for just being here and being a part. But if there's anything that he's asking for more. He's asking for us that are that have ears to hear to go to the next level. And you say, well, Pastor, I've heard that. You know, when we hear something over and over and over again, cognitively, there's something that happens to us. It either gets very entrenched in us, or we put up some kind of, I've heard it before, and it becomes very stale to us in the sense of the word, like, it's not raw. It's not having heard it the first time. Sometimes it's like, wow, that penetrated my spirit. You can become calloused without knowing because I've heard it and heard it and heard it and not done something with it. If you do something with it, you don't become calloused with what the Lord is saying. So I'm God's salesman today, I guess. I don't know how good a salesman I am. I hope anointed. If I could just, if God can impregnate your spirit with a hunger that will begin to open up your spiritual eyes to say, this doesn't take away from my life, it adds to my life. And the intimacy that is found in these places that he's inviting us to, it gives a place of authority for us to bring an atmosphere that changes the city, that changes the... Well, you started out as a Mockley's in revival, but several years ago, the Lord said to me, we're supposed to believe for a region. Now, we'll get our own. I think other churches will get... the after, and there may be more of us. I don't know that they're very well, and I'm not saying that facetiously. Nobody has come to me, or I haven't met anybody yet, and there may be, and I know there's spirit-filled churches in Naples and Fort Myers. But if they're out there, God hasn't hooked me up with them yet. I haven't found anybody that teaches and that, you know, I know that can sound egotistical. I know you can, well, Pastor, you better watch out. I'm just, it is what it is at this point. And there may be out there, but I don't know. I just don't know. Okay. Sometimes I'll hear somebody every once in a while. I don't even try to listen, but I saw some affiliate church that was part of one of the prayer things that we did a couple months ago. And I saw them, they were local, and I thought, wow, there's another one of us maybe. And I watched a few minutes and I said, no, no, they got some. Yeah. I saw them inviting all kinds of this guy to the pulpit to pray and that guy to the, I said, ugh. Not us. Thank you, Pastor Dave. You can't hear us, but God, would you get something over to Pastor Dave? Thank you for the message of nonstop praying in tongues. Thank you for the message of contextual meditation, not making it something I want it to say. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Some of you don't even know who Pastor Dave is. He's a, I guess what I want to sell you on is, if I can ever get you, all of us, and even more, myself persuaded all the more, if there's anything inside of me, if there's a word that keeps coming up this morning, it's abandonment. And I know that's a negative. It can have a negative connotations, and it can say a neg, but it has a, there's a beautiful side to abandonment when you come to a place where you just abandon yourself on Him. And Romans 12 becomes when He tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and we say, Lord, we can't get there except through You, but we believe that through You, through Your grace, You'll cause us to be able to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto You. And this is only a reasonable service. It'll conform us not to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will continually prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you can take yourself by the shoulder and put yourself over on this island and say, I'm leaving you. I'm abandoning you. I'm selling away. There's a part of me that's selling away, but the part of me that's left, is abandoned to God. And none of us are there, and none of us get there ourselves. But I'm asking you to challenge yourself in 2025, looking forward to saying, Lord, what more can I do? Hello, God. Come invade my world. Invade my world. Somebody said, well, that just causes challenges. The devil sees that and he fights you all the harder. The trade-off is beyond measure. The peace, the life, the grace. There are future millionaires in here. But you won't get there except through that grace. Or if you get there, it'll corrupt you. There are blessings to be had. Spiritual places. I want continual. You know, in Solomon's day, silver, he was so rich, he was such a trillionaire, that silver became as stones, just pure rocks. We want to be thankful for every virtuous healing that is manifested in this house. But I want it to just be commonplace that the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear. And the dumb speak, the dead are raised. Let's go after it. When Cortez sailed with 500 men from Cuba to Mexico to invade, at that time, which was an incredibly large Aztec army of very warlike people, King Montezuma, I believe, was the reigning king at the time, incredible army. They were, the Spaniards justified their, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was done that wasn't good, but was he a conqueror? Yes. They conquered in the sense of the word, they felt justified in their billions of dollars, of maybe trillions of dollars of riches that they awarded their men, and also the kingdom where they represented. The Aztecs were incredible warlike people. They also were very, very one of their, and this is one of the reasons why they felt very justified in conquering them and almost exterminating them, is because they were very big into human sacrifice, child sacrifice. But when he sailed with 500 soldiers and 100 sailors to an insurmountable army, the Aztecs were very, very warlike. Had conquered that whole region, all the other indigenous Indians, villages, and for thousands of square miles were under their dominion. I suppose thousands, hundreds of square, thousands. That whole Mexico, Yucatan Peninsula, everything was under their, pretty much their dominion. And, but historians tell us, some say that he said one thing and some say another, but I like to say it, and they use this even if it's the other. But when he got there with the 9 ships and they landed, and he had already sold them on the riches that they were going to have, not just to retrieve for their king, but they were also to be party of the riches. But this is historical fact, however he said it. Some say he said, sink the ships. But others, and maybe closer historians, render that he said, once he got them all on land, he made them burn. All 9 boats. And he said, fellas, there's no way back except we conquer and rebuild our ships here if we're ever to go back to Europe. I'm asking all of us. If you can find a can of spiritual gasoline, go pour it on the bridge that's been linking you back and forth between spirit and flesh. Pour it all over. Have your nice little bonfire during this holiday season. Burn every ship. There's nothing in front of us but revival. That's all we've got to look forward to, is a harvest that'll last for decades, and then we get to go home. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. Glory to God. Now that I've wore out Harry, let's all stand together. Would you lift your hands? Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Lead us in, I think that song that you started out with, I can't remember what it was, the beginning. Hallelujah, Jesus. And sick it is.
Spirit of Jesus, pour your spirit out. We need a fresh
Yes, Jesus.
The fragrance of heaven.
Yes, Jesus.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
The holy anointing.
Yes. Take a moment, because this is all the foundation of always the foundation of all that we do is the harvest. If you're watching, or you're watching this service post-dated, or you're in here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the simplicity of that is not joining a church. It's not making a commitment to any one person. It's not giving money. It's not anything other than believing. The word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. That means making a personal commitment, like not that you just believe that he existed, but that personally he exists for you, and that you receive his sacrifice for yourself. And if you confess him and say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and I will follow you as a Christian, you will be saved, or you will be changed. You will become a son or daughter of God. Now, there may be people in here, there may be people watching that have never done that. Or maybe you've walked away and you're just really not sure where you stand with God. I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're all going to pray it. I'm going to ask us to pray it together in unison. And I'm just asking you, if you do pray it and if you're concerned about yourself, please mean it. Mean it. Somebody says, what if I walk out of here and tomorrow I do something wrong? It's okay. You haven't lost this. You just simply say, Jesus, forgive me. You don't lose this in that sense of the word immediately. You just keep going and keep getting cleansed. So let's pray this. Let's say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my past sins. I choose you, Jesus. I choose the cross, the work of the cross of my salvation. Father, I confess before you and all your angels that Jesus is Lord. Come into my life, cleanse me of all my sins, and wash me in your blood. And I will serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you need more direction, go to our website and discipleship training manuals. We're headed towards getting more stuff done on that, because we really know that there is a real need, and we want to be ready for the harvest. If anybody is here today and you... physically, if you need prayer, as soon as I pray this closing prayer, I'll be up here just for a moment if you want me to pray for you physically for anything. You can come forward. So other than that, God bless you. We'll have a wonderful afternoon, and no church tonight, and we will see you on Wednesday. And bless you all. Amen.